Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio and in Waukesha on the Shaw. We're going to the lines. Nick of Lake Mills, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Nick?
Hey, good morning, Matt. I'm a steam fitter. I got a basic public education, which is pretty good. I thought the first rule of power is, like, do everything you can to keep it. And when the Democrats took over, I thought it'd be like the Godfather. I thought they'd be just smoking people left and right, and they'd do whatever they can to maintain that power and start putting people in jail. And I don't think the attorney general is doing anything. They had, from the inauguration, the guy was already committing crimes, and that was, like, what, 5 years ago. So even if they should have all the stuff they need on this guy to put him away and everybody else. So I don't know why it seems like they're just dragging their feet.
Yeah, you know, you're putting your finger on a very sensitive subject, which I've raised on this show, but a lot of people have not raised on their shows. And here's the deal with Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is sort of an establishment figure, very fine reputation. He was the chief judge of the Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. And to give you an idea, the overall biggest court and most important court in the country is the U.S. Supreme Court. There's 9 people on it. Underneath that are the courts of appeals in the federal system. And they're all numbered, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I was a law clerk on the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the states of Chicago, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana. And I was the law clerk for the chief judge, Thomas Fairchild, one of the great judges in Wisconsin history. He was appointed to that position. But all of those courts, when they issue a decision, theoretically, the losing side can take it up to the Supreme Court. And as an extra layer of protection, the 50 state Supreme Courts are also subordinate on federal issues to the U.S. Supreme Court. So the U.S. Supreme Court is the big kahuna. But underneath the Supreme Court, in all those numbered federal courts of appeals, the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, or I should say the Court of Appeals for that for the District of Columbia, is considered perhaps the most prestigious court under the Supreme Court. Some people argue with me the Second Circuit in New York is prestigious, and they really all are, but the D.C. Circuit is a very big deal. Merrick Garland was the head of the D.C. Circuit. Obama put him up for Supreme Court. Moscow Mitch torpedoed him. And it was not fair. That's right. And then we end up getting Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Comey Barrett. And we look what we got. Well, everybody out there was thinking, well, Merrick Garland is kind of what? He's sort of the Babe Ruth of different positions. Well, he's not Babe Ruth. And he's not, you know, he's not a utility infielder. He was great as a judge. He would have been great in the Supreme Court. That does not necessarily mean he's going to be great as attorney general. A prosecutor is a different deal. It's a different deal. You have to be aggressive. You have to have good instincts. You also have to be responsible, and he's responsible, but you don't want somebody who is timid. You don't want somebody who's timid. You know, there are bodies lying around all over the place. I don't know if you ever saw a comedy named Johnny English. It's funny as heck. You really have got to watch it. Johnny English is this bumbling spy, and he'll sit in a casino, and the guy sitting next to him gets shot in the back and pitches down on the blackjack table. Johnny English doesn't know it, doesn't notice it. Johnny English is out there golfing, you know, tracking somebody. Guy standing near him gets shot with a silencer and goes down. Johnny English doesn't see it. Merrick Garland is Johnny English. And if you haven't watched the movie, you really got to watch the movie. Yeah, their bodies all over the place. Their bodies all over the place. I mean, Trump, first of all, in Mueller's report, Mueller left open a charge of obstruction against him. Mueller did not have the guts to recommend it himself, and crooked William Barr lied about it. But he obstructed, Trump did, he obstructed that investigation. That's a felony. It's a felony. The insurrection. And this doesn't have to be left to U.S. attorneys. U.S. attorneys are the main federal attorney in the different states in the District of Columbia. They report to Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland can give them orders, and Merrick Garland can take over a prosecution. So where is he? You know what's going to happen is maybe Trump will be indicted by the state DA in Atlanta. What? The state DA in Atlanta for extorting Brad Raffensperger? Well, yeah, I'm glad they do. But what's going on? Why did Cyber Ninja not get shut down out in Arizona? It's a fraudulent, crooked deal. Why is Gableman and Voss's interference with elections in Wisconsin under the guise of an investigation and then issuing subpoenas that are designed to affect federal elections not getting the attention of the Justice Department? The truth of the matter is, Merrick Garland's a fine guy, but the great attorneys general in the past, people like Bobby Kennedy and others, were aggressive. You know, Bobby Kennedy enforced civil rights laws. Bobby Kennedy did things. Sadly, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan. So what do you do? Well, first of all, thank God that terrific DA in Atlanta, Fannie Willis, is taking this seriously and may indict Donald Trump. That is a textbook case of extortion. And Merrick Garland should have prosecuted that because the extortion was in a federal presidential election. The Republican candidate lost, calls up a Secretary of State and says, forge 11,780 votes. That's sort of a laydown. That's not even close. And if you don't, there may be criminal consequences. You know, be ashamed if something happened to your family. You say those words and you say, well, it'd be a shame. I didn't know anything about it. No, you should go to prison for that. You see, all these double entendres, and Raffensperger taped the call. So there should be a special task force in the Justice Department under Merrick Garland with a top-notch, aggressive, younger prosecutor. They put up on the map of the on the wall all 50 states, and what are people doing to interfere with federal elections? And if they're within the bounds of the Constitution and we don't like them, that's one thing. But if they are doing things that are going to interfere with it and look to overturn a federal election, whether for Congress, Senate, or the presidency, by illegal means, they should be prosecuted. I think what's going on, there's two things going on, Nick. One is that they are very reluctant, the Biden administration and Merrick Garland, in looking like they're going to go in and take out the guy they beat. That happens in Africa. It happens in jihadist countries. It happens in communist countries. It happens in organized crime countries like Russia. But in Western-style democracies, normally you do not prosecute and throw in jail the guy you beat in the election. The optics of that are bad. But what do you do if you have a guy like Trump who committed felonies? Then I think you do it. What they're afraid of is there'll be an insurrection of the 30% or so who follow Trump. The other thing is that Biden early on, which I did not like, I was probably Biden's strongest supporter in the state because back when he was running, most of the people listening to the show were for Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. You really were. And a lot of other people, in my judgment, I knew Joe, I think he's an excellent guy, excellent president. He's also the only one of that crowd that could have beaten Trump. Trump would have beaten any of the others. And so I supported him, and I had debate parties for him, and hardly anybody showed up, maybe a dozen, 15, 20 people. And then he won. But the one thing I say as a strong supporter of his is that when he said, I'm going to appoint an attorney general, and I'm going to be hands off, and it's all up to him, I did not like that. And the reason I say that is, they were trying to draw a contrast with Donald Trump. Donald Trump tried to boss Crooked William Barr, Jeff Sessions. Then they wanted to put in this character, Clark, Jeffrey Clark, who was simply his slave. And yeah, we do not want that with a crooked president. But when you have an honest president like Joe Biden, I would not have picked Merrick Garland. I would have picked a younger, aggressive guy. But if you are going to pick Merrick Garland, you don't announce, I'm hands off. And whatever this guy thinks is fine, and he wasn't elected, no. You don't have to say, I'm going to pull the strings. You do not have to say that. But if I'm president, and he's got a little slow on the draw when it comes to going after things, he's going to have a meeting in the Oval Office. He's going to get his keister over to the Oval Office, and he's going to be given a lecture. And that has not happened, in my view. So that's what's going on. Anyway, there's a piece of what I think is good news, and it sounds strange. Tommy Thompson announced yesterday that he is, quote, not ruling out a run for governor this coming fall, 2022. Now, here's the upside and downside to that. The only real candidate they have now is Rebecca Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn. She is a disaster, and she would simply be servile to her donors and to Trump. She would be like Kim Reynolds in Iowa. She would be like Kristi Noem in South Dakota, very attractive woman, absolutely without any original ideas, just obeying Trump. It would be a disaster for the state. The Republicans are starting to wake up to that, because with governor, it's not like senator. You don't have just an ideologue. With governor, you have to be able to run a state with a budget up around $90 billion biennial budget and make tough decisions. And you don't want a servile creature, a cheerleader, the Duchess of Foxconn, for the governor. They're afraid she won't win simply on competence. So they're sniffing around. They have this guy, Kevin Nicholson, who's a disaster. He's the character back in 2018 when he ran for the Senate. He said that Democrats who are veterans have betrayed their country. And I said, hey, you want a debate, Jack? You cretin? You lantern-jawed imbecile? You want a debate? Of course, he wouldn't. Snuck off, and then he lost the primary. Well, that's what they got. They have a guy named Eric Hovde, a money man. Nobody knows the guy. So Tommy Thompson, the reason I want him to run is I think he can win. I think he can win the primary. And obviously, we're Democrats, and you support a Democratic ticket. But with Tommy Thompson, he will not destroy our democracy. I know Tommy Thompson. He did a great job as the interim president of the UW system. Great job. He has a lot of respect in the Republican Party around the state and around the state. If things took a bounce in that election and he were elected, our democracy is safe. If Rebecca Clayfish gets elected, it's a disaster. There'll be nothing but lawsuits, and Republican judges will decide them. Tommy Thompson should run. And if anybody's talking to him, tell him that there are people in both parties who would like to see him run. I'd like to see Evers get reelected, but I will sleep easy if Tommy Thompson were ever elected. We're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.